decades later, the game with no conversation dialogue, the original quarter eater Dragon Slayer is going from movie video game to video game movie. I'm hoping for a Space Age successor. This is just one story. Join us for the rest, starting right now on the show, where every gamer has some space.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight with episode number 813 of our program for March the 29th of 2020. My name is Rob Roberts, and as we talked a little bit about last week, and as I'm sure you're well aware with everything going on in the world, I am all alone in the studio this week as we are practicing social distancing, which is, you know, pretty good idea in the state in the state of the world today. A pretty good thing to be practicing. Not joining us at all tonight, though, sadly, Dark Soccer or Jamie Summers. Talked to her yesterday a little bit via text because her voice is not holding out so well. She was having kind of a rough night last night, so she decided to bow out of tonight's show just to let her voice recover a little bit, which completely understand if you've been listening to the last couple weeks. She's been battling something kind of nasty. We don't know what it is because, you know, is it the big one? Don't know because testing's not there for it. But regardless, we're wishing her well. I did check in with her about an hour ago. She said she was doing a lot better today but still wanted to rest her voice for the night, which is certainly understandable. Who knows? She might pop in to our chat room at some point throughout the night because we do tape live every Sunday night at the Voice of Geeks Network, vognetwork.com. That's vognetwork.com. Or on Twitch, twitch.tv/vognetwork is where we tape every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern-ish, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. Even though Dark Soccer is not here tonight, I am joined via Discord by Techmaster Loki. Hello, Loki.
Hello, I'm here.
You are here. How are you holding up after how many days is it that you've been in the house now? For me, it's coming up on 14 days tomorrow.
Yeah, because I was working from home as of a week from last Monday, so yeah, it's been 2 weeks.
Yeah, so yeah, pretty much the same. So, well, glad you're hanging in there. Hopefully, a chance to play some games and maybe get caught up on writing your own game.
I've had no time to do either of those, and the reason for that is I've been dealing with PC issues, and so my laptop does not want to cooperate with the two monitors I have, and so it keeps crashing. I've been just dealing with that all week. And so because it clearly is not working, and I think the graphics card may be going out on it, it works fine by itself. So I got a replacement coming.
All right. Well, glad you at least have a replacement coming. Hope it makes it a decent amount of time because I know they're prioritizing the essential stuff right now. So it's
it'll be here like tomorrow.
Oh. Well, that's maybe. Good. That's good. I'm looking at some of the chat room comments over at twitch.tv/vognetwork, where Fifth Dream Today is saying, the mouse is looking at me. Plushplosion. Okay, so those that are watching live on Twitch have the visual. And I haven't plugged this in a while, so I should say, if you are a subscriber on Twitch at VOG Network, which you can use your – if you're an Amazon Prime person, you get – you may not know this, but you get one free Twitch subscription every month. So if you want to use that – on VOG Network, you get access to our video archives. The podcast audio version is free, just as it has been for over 18 years. Or not quite over 18 years, over 17 years, coming up on 18 years. I'm getting at that point where I forgot my own age. But anyway, the point is if you're watching the visual, whether it be live or via your Twitch subscription for VOG Network, you can actually see, usually it would be myself and it would be Loki on camera. Dark Sakura sometimes on camera when she feels like it because, you know, it's her choice if she wants to get on camera or not. But without Loki here, I'm a little lonely. So some of the various plushies that I have that actually Alan freaking won some of these on that crane site. Toreba, I think is the name of it. I don't know what it is. It's one of those freaking crane game sites. I shouldn't even give it a plug because he wasted so much time on that site and they're not paying me any money. But he did win this little hamster thing and that master ball looking thing. But Captain Pikachu and I go way back. I've had this life-size Pikachu for a long time. So I have to have something to fill in for Loki when he's not here. Maybe next week I'll get some round table breadsticks. Those will remind me of Loki. Maybe. We'll see.
There you go. That'll work.
Yeah. It might be a few weeks that we're on this system of doing OLR. I think it's important that we continue to do OLR to the best of our ability, but the reality is we're not exactly going to defy the governor's order. So once that is lifted and changed, then we'll consider getting back together again, which if what we just heard earlier today in the national news is any guideline, it's going to be at least till the end of April. But, you know, got to keep people healthy, got to make sure we squash this thing, flatten the curve, try not to spread it around to people that don't need to have it, myself included. So, yeah, we're just doing what we have to do. So
I didn't stop my neighbors from having their motorcycle pot party today.
What is up with that? We've been having neighbors that have been having parties too. And I'm like, you guys are missing the point. You're ruining it for everybody. It's horrible.
Maybe they watched Tiger King and decided to bring their, well, I wouldn't even say it's their inner redneck, but because it's kind of their whole persona, but you know, amp that up a bit.
Have you been getting obsessed with Tiger King? That is all everybody is fucking talking about on Twitch. It's Animal Crossing and Tiger King. I'm surprised the two haven't come together yet.
I have watched the whole thing, though.
Of course, yeah. It seems like the type of thing your wife would be into.
And she was, yes.
Of course she was. No, I've held off on Tiger King thus far. I am finally trying to finish Love is Blind. So I'm a few, like, and that was the big thing everybody was watching in February on Netflix. So I'm a little bit behind.
What is that? Is that that because I sort of remember a show that was on The Soup or something where they had, like, people in, like, a dark room talking to each other and they weren't able to see each other? Is that
But The Soup has been off TV for years. Love is Blind is a newer show. So they can only they're in these like pod things and they can only talk to each other and they can't see each other. And then but it's weird because like the first three episodes are that. And then the rest of it is, now let's see if it works or if they become a hot mess. And surprise, some of them are total hot messes when they get together in person. I mean, I'm sure we're all shocked at the type of people that go on those sort of dating reality shows that you mix them up in a room and there's drama. Surprise, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, let's get into actual video game chat. I mean, we could sit here and talk Netflix. I mean, I guess we could talk about like Castlevania, Ingress anime, or there's that other Netflix thing I bet is on y'all's mind. Yes, it's in the news. We'll get to that a little later. But first, while we get to tonight's kickoff topic, Loki, what are we starting off with tonight?
So they had the Nintendo Direct, or surprise Nintendo Direct, I guess, that was earlier this week talking about some indie games and some other like additions to current Nintendo games. So, for example, they talked about their progress in Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition. They announced that some 2K games are going to be coming to the Switch, including the BioShock Collection and Borderlands. Those are going to be coming.
I think that's just real quick. I think that's great about Borderlands and BioShock, but like, I don't know. This seems to be like the Switch's MO or something is like, how old are these games at this point? Like, and it's just now getting a Nintendo's console. I mean, it's not a read. Yeah. It's not a read. It's not a diss. I understand there's some people out there that are going to be very excited with the portability of a game like BioShock. But I don't know. Like, I feel like those are games that are better experienced on a big TV, which, yes, I know the Switch can do. But, you know, the high-end graphics and all that stuff. I don't know. Like, I feel like those are little scraps that the Nintendo fans are getting tossed. Don't get me wrong. I love my Switch. I'm super jazzed about other stuff that was in there. Maybe it's just one of those notforme.com type of things. But
it's probably just pretty easy to port that stuff over,
maybe.
I guess.
Maybe. Just maybe the engine they're built in or whatever. Just it's a little bit – it doesn't take a lot of man hours to port that over to Switch. I don't know. I just always feel like those are like kind of scraps. So,
Yeah, and then they had the XCOM 2 collection as well. So that was something that was announced there. Burnout Paradise Remastered was another game that's supposed to be coming to the Switch as well. And then some of the other things they talked about, there's you know the final piece of DLC for Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, so it's the Fantastic Four. They talked a little bit about Animal Crossing New Horizons. That's going to have their seasonal event, Bunny Day, which that bunny is super creepy. But that's going to be taking place.
Too bad it wasn't the bunny from Silent Hill. I mean, that would be
it pretty much is. Ooh, I mean, like,
can you do like the reskins? Maybe can you like design the bunny an outfit and make the bunny wear like Silent Hill costumes?
I don't know, but like Zipper, I mean, is looking pretty creepy.
I mean, think about how fucking crazy business Animal Crossing is doing right now. Like Animal Crossing is probably bigger than it's ever been. And it's because in large part of what's going on in the world, like, we don't have our real lives to talk about. So what are we talking about on social media? Our fake ones in Animal Crossing. Like, I think this game would have done fine as it is, you know, in a normal world. But now, especially that we're all shut in and we can't, like, go out and fish for real or go out and do things out in nature for real, we're all sharing it through Animal Crossing. I don't know about y'all's social media, but my social media is filled with Animal Crossing stuff. And I just feel like, and the reason why I say all that is that, like, this game is, and this franchise has never been hotter in, you know, my opinion, with what's going on in, like, pop culture and stuff. Like, this just seems like the time for Nintendo to really, like, let us tweak it even more. Like, let us design some of our villagers. Like, I would love to have villagers that imitate Pyramid Head and stuff, but maybe that is exactly what Nintendo does not want to open the floodgate to because of all the, and, you know, if you could draw your own patterns for the villagers, I guess you could always give them shirts and things, but I feel like if you could, like, totally reskin the villagers, somebody's going to do Nude Zoo. Somebody's going to do Nudie Zoo, and it's going to get awkward. So it's just,
I saw someone.
Then you're going to have Tiger King. Then you're going to fucking have Tiger King.
Well, I saw somebody, though, actually on Twitter, and I want to say it might have been Mayor Marvel, but, like, I thought it was, like, they did a dress that had a butt on the back of it.
So. Oh, yes. Oh, my God. I saw that. Yes, somebody had a dress pattern, but they drew a butt on it, so it just looked like the person's butt was hanging out of the back of the dress. That was great. I love it.
Yes.
Funny, funny.
So, already happened.
Oh, you creative people. Oh, and through the QR code and generate your own pattern sites. Anyway, people are putting all sorts of filthy things, but funny things too. Like, I found online a shocked Pikachu painting that I have now. I have an N7 logo up. What else do I have? A friend of mine sent me Rocky Horror Picture Show related ones. So now I have a throne scene with Frankenfurter and friends all up there.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's just all this crazy stuff you can get with QR codes.
So aside from the Bunny Day event, which, of course, they're going to be hiding eggs, and they have special crafting things, there are some other games that they are talking about, one called Good Job. It looked pretty cool. And then some new they're going to have a demo for Bravely Default 2, as well as they're saying that Star Wars Jedi Knight Jedi Academy and the Panzer Dragoon remake, those are all announced as well. And then
the Bravely Default 2 demo came out with the day of the Nintendo Direct. So I didn't get around to playing it, but some friends of mine played it. I'm hearing kind of mixed reviews on it. Some people are really into it, you know, those that probably really enjoyed the first Bravely Default. I'm hearing a lot of criticism about some of the character design and some of the voice acting. I guess there's one character in particular that's like, please stop. Please stop this now. So, don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Okay. So, and then we also had Clubhouse Games, 51 Worldwide Classics. That's been announced. And that's coming on the Switch on June 5th.
I wanted that freaking franchise to make a comeback.
Yeah.
Well, I was, so.
And then, oddly enough, like, of games that no one ever asked to be ported to the Switch, Star Wars Episode I Racer is coming to the Switch. Why?
Because the pod racing was the only thing cool about that. I don't know. Maybe it's another one of those, like, it was fairly simple to port, so we did it.
I guess porting games is the new shovelware.
Perhaps.
Anyways, and then, of course, new fighter announced for the Smash Ultimate DLC, and that new fighter is Arms. Now, I don't know if that's all of the different characters in Arms or just one of the characters.
You're kind of half right. They just announced that the next character would be from Arms, but they didn't say who it would be. And I know a lot of people are hoping for Twintel, just because she was a kind of standout character from ARMS. But the thing about Twintel, and the reason why I don't think it's going to be her, is that Twintel actually uses her hair, not her arms. Like, she's the one with the big braids, so I don't know if she'll end up being the character or not. I don't really play ARMS. I tried to play it a little bit, and I'm going to be honest, I didn't care for it. So I kind of wonder why Nintendo is trying to make ARMS happen now, because they're doing the free play weekend or whatever. okay. I just, but I guess other people were into it, sure, but I wasn't a big ARMS fan, so I'm kind of meh on this news.
They were, yeah, I remember they were trying to position it as like their, like an esports title almost. But that was like kind of the trend there where everyone would want to be an esports title, and it just wasn't going to happen.
So. Yeah, no, it didn't happen. Maybe, you know, esports has got a new focus on it now because of this whole stay at home stuff. And how it's affecting some of the programming on television and stuff. So, but I that seems a little too, like, I don't think Nintendo is putting ARMS in Smash because suddenly, due to coronavirus, they sense a rise in esports. Like, that is too calculated and would have taken more time to plan than the reality of this situation. So,
no, yeah. I don't think that's at all. But I'm just saying, I don't think esports team around ARMS is ever going to happen. But I was going to say the last bit of news that was kind of cool, in addition to Ring Fit Adventure, they're getting an update which adds a new rhythm game mode. They have songs from Super Mario Odyssey, Splatoon 2, and Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, which is pretty cool.
Man, if only we could get some pop songs in there too, though. Like, that would be great. But yeah, I have not played that mode yet. I've seen some tweets from people who've been playing it, and I've watched some of the YouTubes and stuff. So it kind of looks like just instead of the notes falling from the top down, they kind of come in more of like a well shape. Think like Guitar Hero. Okay, they come down. Because I guess we learned all those years ago that Konami actually has the patent on the notes falling from the top of the screen down. So that's why all the music games now do it where it's coming at you, because Konami doesn't have the patent on that.
But I'm pretty sure that patent has run out already.
Maybe. I don't know. Anyway. But for whatever reason, Nintendo is doing it where it's coming out at you, and you do different motions with the controller, with the Ring controller. Like, it might squeeze on a certain bit, or you might kind of tilt it left or right at a certain point, and that is all dictated by when the notes get to the front. So...
neat.
It looked interesting. I want to try it. I haven't really. It probably shows. I haven't really played Ring Fit since quarantine started, but I have been snacking. I probably should be playing Ring Fit.
All right.
Some folks in chat talking about ARMS. AJ Twist is asking, isn't there an ARMS character that is a trophy in Smash already? I do believe you are correct. And they're talking about Springman. ActF says, I totally forgot the name of the ARMS guy. AJ Twist says Springman. Yeah, I think like they're kind of like mascot guy that's like on the box. I believe he is some type of assist trophy already in Smash. Not that assist trophies and the like have stopped characters from becoming full-blown characters before. I feel like there was something that got upgraded along the way, but it escapes me in the moment.
Man, what are we getting Geno? Seriously.
Well, you've got four more characters after this one, so you never know what might happen. Bobby Blackwolf says it has stopped Waluigi. Hey, never say never until that 10th character is announced. Not that I want to give false hope, but I don't know. I feel like they weren't originally planning to do a second set of DLC, I feel like, and now they're doing it, so they've had enough time to hear the fan feedback, and they might do it. Who knows? But I think if Waluigi does happen, it'll be the very, very last one. ActF says Little Mac was an assist trophy in Brawl before he became a full character in Smash 4. Yes, I knew there was like one that like got upgraded, but I guess that wouldn't have really been within the same game. I don't know. So was that everything from the Nintendo Direct, Loki?
Yeah, pretty much.
So what did you think overall of the Direct? And what you, I mean, if you didn't watch it, the highlights, I guess.
I didn't really watch it. I mean, I don't know. It's all right. There wasn't really anything that was super exciting about. I mean, unfortunately, I'm not a huge fan of Clubhouse games. I'm sure it's a great game. Don't really care that BioShock Infinite and all that seems to be important to yet another system. I have it like on three systems already, so it's like, I don't really need it. I don't know. There's nothing super exciting coming out of that, unfortunately.
Well, it was a mini. So, you know, it wasn't like, I guess, I don't know what the difference is. It was still 30 minutes. They could have just called it a regular Direct and it probably would have been fine. For me, the Xenoblade stuff, that remake looks hot. I'm definitely going to buy that when it comes out. They definitely kind of took a deep dive into that a little bit, because I don't know if we'll get, maybe there'll be a special Direct. I guess before June, there ought to be another Direct of sorts, so they'll probably show even more on that game. But I'm definitely going to pick that up when it comes out. And otherwise... Yeah, like the 2K games are a little bit like, okay, I already kind of have like all of the things I want on PlayStation already, but I guess cool for the Nintendo exclusive folks, or some folks are saying in chat, if you really want to play it in a portable setting, which isn't for me, but maybe it's for you, so cool. And then some of the, you know, Clubhouse games, obviously, I'm a very big fan of. So those were some nice little surprises. It wasn't like an, oh my God, type of thing, but it was some nice surprises, nice little treats. Especially when there's a lot of shit news in the world right now, it was kind of nice to have something a little bit like, oh, I have this to look forward to. That's a nice thing. So,
yeah.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, I hope they just did a mini just to shut up all the Twitter trolls that beg for a Nintendo Direct every time Nintendo tweets anything. Well, I don't think they did it just for that reason. But clearly Nintendo had a few things that they just wanted to, like, drop on people. Because, what, they put out that Bravely Default 2 demo. They put out Panzer Dragoon. Came out day and date. They started taking your money for Clubhouse games. So they kind of had a backlog, maybe a small backlog of things they just kind of wanted to get out there and you know, make sure people knew about. So I think it kind of served its purpose in that regard. So AgDev says if it was a big direct, there would be like a big announcement. And they probably would have given you more time too. They probably would have said, we'll do one tomorrow. Instead of, is that what they did? They say later, did they drop one the same day or did they give you a day's notice? I don't remember. So, so those are some of the comments from our chat room. Oh, interesting. AJ Twist says maybe it was called a mini direct because there was no human host. That's an interesting thought as well. Is that they didn't
probably,
they didn't have anybody from Nintendo, either Japan or America or anyone really talking us through the different announcements. So that is a very, very good point. Maybe that's one of the differences between a mini and a regular Direct. And perhaps in this era of social distancing where many Nintendo people are working from home, maybe they weren't able to get all the footage they needed in time. Although, you know, many of these Directs, they film that stuff way in advance. So, you know, and the world has changed very fast in the scope of 2 to 3 weeks. And I would bet they already knew what was going in this Direct like a month ago. For the most part, they knew this Direct at least a month ago, if not even further back. I would bet E3's Direct, or I'm using my quotey fingers, E3's Direct, the inevitable June Direct that Nintendo, I guess, can drop at any point they want to now, that Direct, they probably already at least have their outline of what's going to be in that. And they're probably starting to script that out. And then they'll shoot that bit by bit that will have live talking faces with that. So anyway. All right, so Nintendo Direct, a nice pleasant surprise from Nintendo this week. So let's talk a little bit about the types of games that we have been playing this week. Since Dark Soccer is not here tonight, we'll start with you, Loki. How was your gaming week?
I didn't play much of anything aside from just Borna, because I've been trying to fix my computer, so didn't get a lot around too much. I have started working on putting Set Mania in the DDR cabinet, because we have been using it a bit more. I just haven't really been playing too much, but like literally right now I have the PC for that cabinet on my desk here. I've been copying songs over. I need to get everything loaded in so that I can test it. But it's almost, I mean, probably pretty close to being ready to go. I just need to mount the PC onto like a board or something so I can sit it in there and figure out how to wire it up so I can switch between the PC and the actual System 573 board that's in there.
Yeah, I was going to say, I saw on Twitter or Facebook or something, I saw a video of one of your kids playing on the Dance Dance Revolution machine you have in your garage. So did that kind of awaken the, I want to do something else with this machine sort of part within you?
Well, I just had, you know, a lot of time where I wasn't able to, you know, work on stuff, or we didn't have to go anywhere. So I had a lot of time to kind of, you know, put all that together. And earlier this week, I was like re-downloading packs and everything. And then I finally found all the downloaded packs that I had. I was like, oh man. So, I just have to, what I'm doing now is I'm kind of setting it up to test it. I was originally wanting to make my own theme and everything for it, but I think I'm going to put that on the back burner for now until I just want to get it running and get it going, and then I'll do themes and all that stuff later. But I have to sort out how I want to sort all of the songs that are in there. I think I want to kind of do it more like Extreme, where it has it kind of, you know, by mix that's come out, and then of course I think Ace might be this, or yeah, Dance Dance Revolution A, I think, is the... I think they have it organized somewhat similar, so I want to do it like that, but probably the theme I'm going with is it's a fan-made theme called a Supernova 3 that kind of looks like the old you know, Supernova or even like Extreme setups with the song wheel and everything. It seems to be pretty lightweight, so I'll probably do that because, I mean, it should be pretty fast. I think I had originally tested it with the Ace theme on there, but we'll see. When I end up doing mine, it'll be much fancier and probably a little bit more unique.
Okay. All right. Adventures in Loki's DDR Machine. So for my gaming week, so I've been playing a lot because, you know, video games help pass the time. Sadly, for discussion purposes, I've been playing a lot of the same things I usually play, like continuing to play Final Fantasy 14 and level, you know, games like that, and MMOs are a great like social thing right now, and you can't really like go outside and be social. So I think that's why I tend to sink a lot of hours into something like Final Fantasy 14. I've been trying to play the GPS games on those rare occasions I go out and walk. Like, obviously, you know, I can't really go out and do anything too crazy. But like last night we drove to a restaurant to get pickup food, and I was like, Alan, can you drive so I can play Orna while you drive? So he agreed to do that. So that was kind of nice. So I was able to get some GPS gaming in there. And I do a little bit on my walks as well, but haven't been doing anything too crazy with that for obvious reasons. Still continuing on Diablo 3 as well. I did make sure to play a new game this week because since I do have all this time and I have Xbox Game Pass along with many other ways to play a variety of different games, such as like the free games they give on the Epic Store, you know, and giveaways here and there and everywhere. There's no shortage of games in the backlog to play. So one of the games I decided to check out this week, which is on Xbox Game Pass, although apparently it's going away soon because it does say it's like a limited amount of time left. So I don't know if I just started this game in time for it to leave at the beginning of the month. I don't know, but it's a game called Kingsway. So what this game is, it's like an RPG, but the RPG, it's like a classic, you know, swords and sorcery type of RPG, like a Final Fantasy-ish thing, but it's framed around an operating system. And it looks like an old operating system, like a Windows 3.1 operating system from like 1994 or something, where you like double click on the world map window to bring up the map. And as you click where to go, you see your little character move in a little progress bar, and you can hear, like, it really emulates, like, a little disk drive going, like, making the little noises the disk drives would do. And then, like, different windows will pop up. Like, if you run into a monster, a window will pop up, and you have to, like, fight it. And so you do your inventory management through, like, windows. So it's really clever how they kind of built this concept of, we're going to do an RPG, but it's going to be based within an operating system. So it's like Windows, the RPG, but it's kind of clever. And I think people who probably grew up around that era, like I think of somebody like Bobby Blackwolf, and I know he's a big fan of these types of old MS-DOS games back in the day. I think he would really get a kick out of this game. But I'm not sure a lot of folks, like let's say by the time you were born, you know, modern PCs and Windows XP and all that stuff was already kind of the norm by the time you were a child. I don't know if there's going to be as much here for you because it's not going to be the same type of nostalgia trip. But I think the nostalgia trip for gamers of a certain age is kind of fun. So it's one of those games that's worth checking out, especially if you have Xbox Game Pass anyway. I don't think it's on Xbox the console. It wouldn't make sense why it would be on Xbox the console, because obviously it's very mouse driven. So it's the type of thing that strikes me as very like a PC thing. So if you have it, you might as well check it out if you can. It might be leaving Game Pass very, very soon, I believe. So Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, if it's in the leaving soon area of Game Pass, then it goes away on the 31st. Well, I guess I'm glad I played it when I could. I've been eyeing it, says Bobby. I remember seeing it, all the PR for it from Adult Swim Games. Yeah, it's published by them. SG100 Matt says, yeah, I could play at home too. I just need to get out and move around. Being inside is maddening. I know. Oh, that's a response to something was ActDef was saying in chat. Yeah, it's you got to find that right balance of going outside. I haven't been going outside enough, quite frankly, but I kind of get sick of the same old walk. Like, since I live, like, right – without giving away my address here on the program, since I live right in the heart of suburbia, it's, like, within walking distance is a park. And if I want to walk a really long distance, I could get to a couple other parks. But That's a long, and then it's like a commitment. It's like if I walk all the way to one of the other parks, then I got to walk back. So, I mean, I guess I could get in the car and drive somewhere. But then you get into all these problems of, well, if you drive to the park that everyone wants to go to, then it's too crowded and it defeats the purpose. That was a problem they were having with the beaches and stuff, right? So you got to find that right balance. It's tricky. But luckily, thanks to things like Pokemon Go and Ingress and the other GPS things I've played over the years, I have a pretty good sense of where all the big parks are in town that don't get too crowded. So I guess that part is kind of nice. So
that's good.
Yeah. And there's always like the river. I have been tempted to go down to Capitol Park. Do you think they throw people out of Capitol Park? I don't think they would. It's still very wide open. You can keep your space from people there as long as it's not swarming with people. But I don't know. Like, I don't want to be that person, you know, that's setting a bad example. So or just putting myself at risk, quite frankly. But yeah, I miss those really dense Pokemon places like Capitol Park. It'd be fun. So anyway, well, that's enough for my gaming week. So a lot of the same old stuff, but I'm trying to squeeze in at least one new game a week while I'm here at home, catching up on the backlog a little bit. I already know what game I want to play for next week, except I forgot the name of it. But it was another game on Xbox Game Pass that totally looks like it's Devil's Crush or Aliens Crush or something like that. Like, it's another pinball game. And I think it's even called, like, Demon something. Somebody in chat will yell it out, I'm sure. But that is the game. I wanted to get around to it this week, but I didn't get to it. So that's the game I definitely want to check out for next week. So that game looks really cool. So, all right. See a Tiberian chat talking about the beaches stuff. It's interesting how the social game Swarm, what Foursquare originally was, is now not awarding as many points if you're going outside of a home area. And when you choose to do something that's not like a housing development, it pops up and says, stay home. That's kind of an interesting use of some of those GPS things. It is interesting seeing how a lot of those things have had to adapt. Things like Pokemon Go have kind of had to change how the game works a little bit. Minecraft Earth did something similar, I heard, this week. Have you checked that out? I heard Minecraft Earth did something.
Yeah. So they did this thing. I checked it out for a second, and I saw it's turning very much into a regular mobile game. So what they've added is these runes that basically, if you play Minecraft Earth, so part of the game is just collecting the tappables that are on the screen to get, like, all the blocks, which are really, if you just drive around, you're going to have, like, a ton of stuff. So they have at, like, parks, there's these things called adventures where you can get additional blocks, and you also get like experience and other things. Then they have like this AR interactive thing that you do. So what these runes do is they cause you to spawn and adventure like wherever you're at. So they give you one for free to be able to spawn one of those adventures.
Interesting.
It's only the taste that's free, and then after that you gotta pay for it, you know, use your rubies or whatever they're in the game, but you earn those pretty quick. I didn't see where I could actually spend those to do that, and ever since I haven't played the game in a long time, so now it's just like full of like different XP boosts and different like food boosts and HP boosts and something. I'm like, oh my god, I'm like, this is way too just like demanding of your money. It's just like, come on, pay, you know. So that kind of really turns me off from playing that game.
SJ100 Matt says Demon's Tilt was the name of the game I was trying to think of. Yes, that is it. You got it. So interesting. Oh, SJ100 Matt says Waze yells at you when you open it up asking if you really need to be outside right now. Really? No, I didn't see. Because I've been a good boy and following all the rules, I haven't seen all the apps really doing these things. So that's really interesting. Interesting how these apps have had to adapt. So let's just hope it doesn't go on forever. And you know, if we happen to have some folks that are working in the healthcare industry and really on the front lines of what's going on right now, thank you for, you know, what you guys are doing. I know it really can't be fun right now, so thank you so much. And grocery store employees and Costco employees, that really can't be fun either right now, so a big thanks to everybody that's really stepping up in this time of I can't believe it's actually happeningness. So all right. Anyhow, let's move on back to video games and traveling around the globe, checking out the latest and greatest in gaming news, because while folks are still working from home and while the world is getting used to what's going on right now, there is still more gaming news, such as Loki starting us off. kind of a follow-up to something from last week, kind of, sort of, right?
Yeah, so we talked a little bit last week about how GameStop is considering them an essential retailer and that they need to stay open during this whole corona outbreak thing. However, they're not the only game company to have done that. So there's another retailer by the name of Game Exchange.
Let's make sure we're hating on everybody appropriately. Let's make sure we've saved enough of our internet rage for other asshole companies.
Yeah, so they're located mostly in like Texas, Arkansas, like the southern east or southeast of the U.S. And apparently they have done something similar. So they're doing the curbside pickup options as well. But there's not really the precautions being taken, though. They've basically said that, yes, they're an essential retailer and that they're providing them with sanitizing products and stuff like that. But much like the whole GameStop thing, that's not necessarily being available and it's not necessarily happening like they're describing. So some of the employees are very frustrated with that, you know, basically saying that they don't want us to close at all. If any employee chooses not to work, then they're told that they will not be paid since they are not working. This even goes for salary managers as well. And then, of course, they're saying, we've got the order to shelter in place today from the county judge. I hope that the higher ups would do the right thing and not put up a fight and put their employees at health risk. Instead, it appears that they have no interest in closing the doors. As the pandemic has progressed, corporate has declined to stop practicing stopping the practice of accepting trades. Our location is located right next door to a medical clinic that takes walk-ins. In a time where there's a global pandemic, keeping the specific location open next door to a place where there are patients with illness is madness. Funny enough, actually, so along with this, I saw a follow-up talking about the GameStop practices and what they're instructing their employees to do as far as like that delivering to like the doorway type thing. So they're literally telling them to like take a GameStop plastic retail bag and just put that around their hand as like a glove to be able to hand games and like payment methods back and forth to people. That seems ridiculous that they're,
You really shouldn't be exchanging things like credit cards and money right now unless it's at a truly essential business like a grocery store.
Exactly.
And even then, like now is the time to check out Apple Pay and or Google Pay, you know, all the contact type transactions, tap to transact type things.
Yeah, exactly. It's ridiculous, but apparently, you know, they feel that they need to do this in order to stay open. I don't know if it's necessarily just, you know, capitalizing on it or the fact that a lot of these independent retailers, even though this is a pretty sizable one, aren't doing that well. I mean, even if you can think about GameStop struggling and they have direct relationships with all of these publishers, game companies or retailers like Game Exchange, they have to sell through or purchase through distribution. I know because we used to sell to them. So they have it even worse than GameStop as far as being able to get product on time, you know, the costs keeping that low and having these special incentives to get people to come into their store. And so that's even harder for them. And if GameStop's like literally running, you know, their business to the ground, in fact, I think they're closing like another 300 locations soon, then it's just going to hit them even harder. Still shouldn't put employees in danger because of that. That's ridiculous, but it's, you know, a very complex situation that really they should be sending those employees home, especially since GameStop did that now. So
yeah,
I mean, to a certain extent,
if you're thinking of the profits before the employees, then obviously you're a problem. And, you know, also, you know, if what's the pay cut, and I say this every time, what's the pay cut the board's going to take or the CEO? You know, it's we never hear the talk about that. Well, actually, I will say in non-gaming related things, we are starting to see that more and more. Like, I think we're seeing those articles around social media that there are some companies. And of course, now that I need to recall them in the moment, I can't think of who. But there are some companies that are like the CEO. I was reading one about some CEO that was dropping his pay to $10,000 this year to try to use the extra money to like pay for employees and make sure they're taken care of and so forth. And yes, good job. That is what CEOs should be. I mean, a $10,000 salary, even heck, he could take maybe a little more. Yeah, that's a reasonable salary is fine. But, you know, use that extra money when you're the type of CEO that's making millions to give back to your employees. I think that is, you know, all we would like to see somebody do. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, devil's advocate, what if they're not necessarily thinking of the profits and just thinking about staying operational?
Right, and that's what I think that they're doing, is trying to stay operational. But at the same time, you know, everybody's thinking about that, but you can't put your employees in danger and to stay operational. You just have to, I don't know, reduce the number of stores you have.
A responsible upper management team has a plan. Has a pandemic type of plan or a contingency plan. Because I can tell you, every company I've worked for, I haven't worked for a lot of companies because I was with one for 14 years, but the companies I did work for always had a plan for what if we get in a situation where all the computers go down? Or what if we get in a situation? And I distinctly remember even the first company I worked for 14 years, which was a major health insurer, because of the fact they were a healthcare insurer and people are going to want to use healthcare. They had specifically a pandemic plan. Granted, I haven't worked there in several years, so I have no idea if they've actually enacted that same plan or what, but they actually had these types of plans. So, like, it is kind of your responsibility as the upper management and the board to be thinking about these types of things. You know, you should have had a plan for curbside pickup and all this type of stuff a long time ago. Now, I realize, you know what, there's infinite combinations of things to plan for, and not everything's going to be perfect, and nobody could have truly predicted this COVID situation. I do understand all of that, but don't you get the sense, aren't you kind of feeling like nothing was planned? Don't you kind of see those two extremes in this scenario?
Yes, at the same time, I do see that, and I think it's more of, you know, they may have been looking at, well, if GameStop doing it, and we can do it as well. Like, kind of, and that's a lot of the sentiment I used to get with a lot of the independent retailers I dealt with, was if GameStop, for example, was breaking street on a title, then they feel, well, it's fine if we do it then. So I think that's kind of what they're looking at here, is they're basically saying that, if they're doing it, then we can do it.
All right. Anyway, it's a tricky scenario, but I kind of think ultimately the reality of what's going to happen, I mean, in light of, you know, all these stories that are coming out and things, I think this might be the situation that pushes more people to go digital that hadn't considered it before. Again, I don't think physical is going away. I don't think my opinion has really changed on that whatsoever, but because just like, you know, CDs and music, that is primarily digital at this point. But there are still collectors and collectibles and things that, you know, you can still find those CDs and so forth. They're not as easy to find as they once were, but you can still order them and get them, you know, and so forth. I kind of think that is a direction that gaming is kind of headed in eventually. And I think this kind of accelerates that a little bit than maybe what we were thinking before. We were kind of already thinking that gaming was kind of going that way anyway. And I think these 2 months of people don't really want to go out to the store. I mean, there's just, it's, you know, GameStop and Game Exchange and all these, they got their plans on how to stay open. But the reality is, speaking for myself, I'm not going to a fucking game store right now. Like, either I'm going to get it on Amazon and just wait a few extra days, an extra week if I need to, because it's something that's non-essential, or maybe even longer than that because it's a game, or I'm just going to buy a digital because, you know what, that's my other option right now. It's not the way I prefer to buy games, but if it's something that I have to play like right now, like Final Fantasy VII Remake, then I'll just buy it digital, even though that's not really what I wanted to do. Everything else can either wait or, you know, whatever. So.
Well, yeah, and I think a lot of major releases anyways are being pushed back because of this whole situation. So I don't think there's a whole lot of stuff that we have to jump out and run out to get right now.
Yeah. So Lady Gaga pushed back her album. So, you know, that was the thing I'm sure you all were waiting for. So now that has been pushed back. So, yeah, I think really, like, as far as gaming goes, I feel like the Final Fantasy VII Remake was the only big thing I was hearing about for April. I don't know what April looks like for like AAA titles. Maybe some of you guys in chat know more, but, you know, I think it was really, I don't think we know a lot of the big stuff yet because we're in a new console year. So I feel like we're still waiting on a lot of the big console stuff. Oh, is Last of Us 2 an April game? That's the other one that's escaping my mind right now. Was Last of Us 2 an April game, or is that like later? Does he keep pushing that one back?
I thought that got pushed to like, I thought that was a June game.
Okay, ActDev says May. So that was the, I know that, oh, I was like, what's PlayStation cool. got? Oh yeah, Last of Us 2. Yeah. So, all right, well, anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about this story, which has to do with kind of a social media trend, gaming companies coming together to start this campaign with WHO, the World Health Organization. So it's kind of interesting to see official government entities that are right in the midst of this whole thing coming together with gaming companies to create this awareness of what they're calling hashtag play apart together. And that's kind of a play on the word apart, because it's playing games across a distance, but you're also playing your part by staying home and not spreading this horrible disease. The World Health Organization and the industry have come together to launch this awareness campaign, Play Apart Together. It encourages physical distancing with special events, exclusives, activities, rewards, and inspiration for different popular games. Some of the companies participating: Activision Blizzard, Zynga, one of your favorites, I'm sure, Big Fish Games, let's see, Kabam, Pocket Gems, Riot Games is in on this, Snap, Twitch is actually taking part in this, because I think Twitch just did their big marathon yesterday, right? For they had a big thing going on yesterday. So Unity is also in on this too, as is YouTube. So there's lots of different types of elements of gaming that are in on this trend of hashtag play apart together. It's interesting because some journalists are noting the World Health Organization just last year was talking about gaming disorder. You know, people that play too many video games. Whereas now it's a little different. A spokesperson, the United States ambassador to the World Health Organization, Ray Chambers, said in a statement that during this time frame of COVID and everything, he applauds what's, quote, the ingenuity of partners from all sectors who are stepping up to assist efforts to combat the COVID-19 pandemic. So the World Health Organization is trying to get the global gaming industry to get million. And that's another thing to note. It's global. Gaming is global, right? Riot Games has a huge presence in Asia, many different Asian countries, not just China, where we know that, you know, COVID is kind of, I don't want to say it's taken its course, but we know that the curve is starting to come down in China. But we got all these other countries, like I'm not sure where Taiwan is at. Some of these other places, Japan, I think was just, I don't know if Riot Games and League of Legends is big there, but, there's other countries where, you know, some of these companies have a big presence. It's not just the U.S. that needs to work on flattening the curve as this, virus is spreading around. So, trying to encourage, game players and so forth to follow hand hygiene and physical distancing and so forth. So it's kind of a neat little awareness campaign. I'm very curious to see what these companies start to do, like in games and so forth. But because they're talking about like maybe like rewards and things to get people to play games online, but we'll see as that develops right now. So I'm kind of also curious for those of you out there in the chat room, and Loki, maybe you have a piece to say on this too. It seems like gaming is just becoming more and more prevalent in these times anyway. Like I see a sizable number of people on Facebook starting to stream Jackbox games. That's a company that's really thriving in light of what's going on. It's weird to talk about like, oh, your company's doing great because of this horrible situation going on, but it is what it is. Like, I feel like so many people are learning about Jackbox games right now because more and more people are playing that on Zoom meetings, you know, with streamer mode and things like that. People are getting together to play Jackbox. Like my cousin, who I didn't even think ever played video games, was posting about this earlier today, trying to get people together to play Drawful or something on a stream. And so it really does seem like video games are a great way for people to be. And of course, Animal Crossing, we talked about earlier in the show. Video games have been a great way for people to still interact, even when they're staying at home. Loki, I don't know. Have you kind of noticed an upward trend in social media, or have you been invited or seen any of this like online gaming stuff that didn't really exist previously?
I mean, obviously, we've seen a lot of stories about different sporting entities going to their esports kind of equivalent and doing stuff that way. So I think we're going to see a big Especially if it takes off, you know, a lot more popularity with esports is because of this whole having to stay away from everybody. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've seen a lot more people playing stuff online. I haven't been invited to do anything, but that's fine. I've just been noticing there's a lot of people doing that.
In chat, Pod Culture says you can play Cards Against Humanity online now. Yeah, I got – I mean, there's all sorts of like Cards Against Humanity like Sims. There was one, Zizix, or it's got a really weird name. Somebody invited me to play that the other night, so I was playing that for a little bit, and that was fun. I had the most points too when I left, just saying. And then that reminds me, that same group has been playing Dungeons & Dragons. You want to go old school. Maybe not so much – it's not so much video games, but, you know – tabletop games even have their place right now. And I know friends that do like a weekly or is it monthly? They do like a monthly tabletop gaming meetup. And so since they couldn't do that this month, they did it online. And they were playing like Dominion and Catan and those types of things online because there's a lot of sites where you can do that. So it's just kind of interesting to see how people are playing through that. Oh, and Bobby Blackwolf points out Tabletop Simulator even works in VR. See, Bobby, we need Clubhouse games more than ever. See, by the time Clubhouse games comes out, hopefully we're on the other end of this curve and everything, and we're talking about getting back to some sort of normalcy. We need Clubhouse games right now, dang it. So, ActDef says, the game show games like Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy and things like that. Good call. And SSGO 100 Matt talking about, you know, the increased what are the sports channels doing? Sports broadcasting networks are starving for contact and they're turning or content, excuse me, and they're turning to wrestling and sports movies. Esports time now to get all the eyes on it. Yeah. And I feel like Twitch, there's just so many more people broadcasting on Twitch all at once now, too, just because you can't go outside right now. So it's just interesting to see how that's all taken off. So anyway. Play a part together. Interesting awareness campaign for the world. Well, let's move on with some more news. Loki.
Yeah, speaking of more, campaigns for the whole COVID-19 situation, we have Games Done Quick tackling some relief for COVID-19 with their brand new Corona Relief Done Quick. It's going to be an event that's going to be online, of course, from April 17th through the 19th. And the I'm assuming all donations are going to direct relief for COVID-19. And then, of course, they're saying that the Summer Games Done Quick has been postponed as well. It was originally scheduled for June 21st, but now it's being pushed back to August 16th instead.
Probably a good idea in light of everything going on.
Yes. So, yeah, be interesting to see, you know, what I want to see what they're going to be running in that.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see how that's going to all be set up with the social distancing as well. Although I believe that channel has done plenty of speedruns when there's not a hotel convention type of thing going on. And they just
they do
like a remote, like they're hosting somebody else's stream essentially, or maybe doing it through Skype or Discord video feed or something like that. I'm sure there's plenty of ways to do it. So it'll be kind of interesting to see how well received something like that is. I bet it does do very well. And then, of course, I'm sure everybody will be very much looking forward to getting back together in person. And it's funny because Bobby was talking about this a little bit on his show tonight because, as many of you know, he applied this year to be one of the hosts, which is very, you know, we're rooting for him. But if he weren't to get it, we would understand because there's tons of people that are applying to be hosts at these things. He was kind of talking a little bit about, you know, well, if they can do this online one, there's going to be some people that would say, well, do it online all the time. But at the same time, it kind of loses something. Like there's something about being all in the same room together, you know, and hearing the big cheers and things like that. And, I kind of replied to that. I was like, sounds familiar because it kind of reminds me of like OLR. Like we're able to do this show over Discord, but it's more fun when it's in person and we can play off each other a lot easier and the laughter is more contagious than it is over Discord, you know? So, you know, I get it. I'm looking forward to being back to normal soon, that's for sure. So, and Bobby Blackwolf points out, Games Done Quick, they do remote speedruns every week. They do entire weekend marathons completely online. Yeah, I figure like I stumbled onto one of those marathons once. So the Corona thing, the speedrun they're going to do for coronavirus relief efforts and so forth is not going to be probably a technical challenge whatsoever. Hopefully they can, you know, get lots of eyes on that. I'm sure they'll get support from Twitch, though, some front page love and things like that, and just general awareness on social media and so forth, that they'll get some good donations for that. So, and Questbuster talking about what's going on overseas, the ESA, not to be confused with the E3 people. This would be, I think it's European Speedrunning Association. I may have got the acronym wrong, but essentially that's what it is. They just hosted a UK speedrunning event that finished today, and they're planning an online-only week of runs in April as well. So, and since you can participate globally, why not? You can check that out too as well if you want. So best of luck to everybody involved with Games Done Quick with the corona relief efforts. Let's talk a little more about Animal Crossing, since it's what a lot of people are talking about right now. But actually, what I want to talk about is Animal Crossing Pocket Camp. Yeah, that's not the current one. The current one is New Horizons. Pocket Camp is the cell phone game. Remember that one? You would think a lot of people have thrown that app in the garbage now that New Horizons has come out. But that's it's hot garbage. But that's actually not the case. Pocket Camp is apparently more popular than ever. Maybe because... with all this talk of Animal Crossing on social media, not everybody has a Switch, so maybe some folks are turning to the mobile version to get their fix a little bit. Apparently, player spending on March 21st, a single day, came in at $250,000. That was spending in one day. That's not bad. The game's best day since March 2nd. The game has generated approximately $3.6 million for the month. Downloads rose by 150%. And 670,000 installs the week of March 16th, which is when the shelter-in-place started for many, many people. So that's pretty interesting how that game has been getting some speed. But I would bet it's all the people that are like, what's this about? And they don't have a Nintendo Switch, so they kind of this is their easiest way to check that out, is through Pocket Camp, which is a very different Animal Crossing experience. I wasn't really into it, but that's just me. Dark Sakura loved it.
I was not into it. It sounded good on paper. Animal Crossing on a cell phone sounds awesome. Then it was garbage.
I didn't care for it either. But again, I have other friends that are super into Animal Crossing that love it. And I consider myself like an Animal Crossing fan, but I just didn't care for this one. I just prefer the Nintendo console-based ones. And some folks... You know, in this interesting day and age of all the different, you know, work from home things, you got some people that are using Zoom to work from home, or maybe something like WebEx to get people together, or Adobe Connect. There's many, many different ways to try to bring coworkers together in this day and age. Some people are using Animal Crossing. I think this is maybe meant to be a little more parody and not that serious, but there was a Japanese company that was posting some of the pros and cons of working remotely through Animal Crossing. And the pro...
No voice chat, and because they have no network features whatsoever.
Well, you can voice chat through the Nintendo app, technically. Actually, I will give a shout out to the Nintendo app. It is proving to be useful for the first time ever. Well, I don't know. Maybe some folks thought Splatoon's tie-ins were pretty good, but for Animal Crossing, the fact that you can use the keyboard in the app is very helpful, as well as the QR code reader to get different patterns in your town from the internet. That's very useful as well. So if you're playing Animal Crossing and you haven't looked at the Nintendo app, you might have forgot that was a thing. Get back on that, because it is pretty useful. But some of the cons the Japanese company says about working from home via Animal Crossing: can't send files, can't speak about confidential matters, meetings are constantly interrupted by talk of Animal Crossing, and no one is using their real name. You know, it's funny, because I was in a work meeting the other day, and people actually asked, like, what is something that's making you happy during this time? And I actually brought up Animal Crossing, and I was like, well, a new Animal Crossing game came out, and I really love that game. Nobody got it. Nobody got it.
That's unfortunate.
That is unfortunate, because I bet a lot of them would really love it if they saw it. But I wasn't going to take the time to explain it at this particular juncture. So, Bobby Blackwolf in chat talking about Zoom and Fortnite. I saw a meme where people were using Fortnite and said that the pros over Zoom was that it was more stable voice chat and you could shoot your coworker if they were being annoying. I like that idea. That's very good. all right. And Bobby also says, I was using Zoom for 4 years. I'm a Zoom hipster. You know what's so fascinating to me? my knowledge of those types of tools from playing Ingress is coming in really handy right now. Because like when we had the big anomaly here, we were doing a lot of planning stuff with Zoom. And so that's a tool I've been using for a long time. And because there were other things that had to do with Ingress and meeting people even before then. Slack I've used before. Thanks. And now my company is talking about using Slack in this interim while we're working from home. And so I'm like, I've used it. I can answer some questions.
Well, Slack also is supposed to be integrating with Microsoft Teams as well pretty soon. So you can actually, call somebody on Slack with Microsoft Teams or vice versa. We've all jumped on the Microsoft Teams and it's all right.
Yeah. Slack's okay. I mean, I wouldn't want to see our company use it permanently, but it's a nice little like stand-in for now while we can't really see each other, I suppose. So anyhow, let's move on with some more stories. Loki.
Yes, so this is kind of a random thing. They have a brand new kind of advertising campaign for Sega. Now, you may remember back in the 90s, they had the whole Sagata Sanshiro, who was their mascot for the Saturn. Well, now, for Sega's 60th birthday celebration, they have his real-life son, Maito Fujioka, playing the same character, which is pretty funny. So they have this whole thing for Sega's 60th birthday, and it's great. We should get more advertising like this for companies. It's very Japanese.
Yeah, and I just generally miss the mascots from all the gaming, all those commercials in the 90s and maybe early 2000s, where like. What was the guy that worked for PlayStation that was in all the commercials for a while?
Oh, God.
It's kind of the mascot.
Yeah, I don't remember his name.
Obviously Sonic was a bit of a mascot for Sega for a while. I feel like that stuff isn't as strong as it used to be, We need the mascots. Kevin Butler. Thank you, ActDef.
Yes, Kevin Butler.
Yeah.
He was the greatest fictional vice president of Sony ever.
I guess the closest thing we have is Flo from Progressive. It's kind of...
There's I guess
that. But that's not gaming. We need those gaming mascots to come back like that. Questbuster in chat says the Sagata Senshiro commercials were great. Wild that actor's son is taking up the banner too now. Well, sometimes those things kind of stay in the family. I'm thinking of that social media thing that went around with Mel Brooks's kid, and then like Mel Brooks was actually in the bit too, but the kid, his kid is in his 40s, is probably older than me. It was kind of doing a little comedy bit about that whole thing, and that was really great. So wasn't it? His name Max? I think his name is Max. So, I didn't realize that. Bobby Blackwell says his kid wrote World War Z. Really, I didn't know that. So, interesting. All right. Well, let's move on. Let's take a trip down memory lane. Let's look at those classics, shall we? In a segment we call the Classic Game of the Week, where every week on the show, we like to take a trip down memory lane to visit a classic game. Usually, Dark Sakura would take this on and step into the gaming vault and find a game that she thinks, hey, you guys should be checking this game out. But she's not here tonight. So I'm going to actually take over for tonight and talk about my classic game choice. I think this is one you might like too, though, Loki. I'm not sure. I don't know if this was up your alley, but it should be. This is actually like one of my like favorite like arcade games from back in the day. It is a game called Rampart is the game. Do you know this game, Loki?
I do, but I'm not a fan.
Really? I love this game. It's from the year 1990, okay? So this was released on, like, that specific Atari arcade hardware. The games, like, 720 and stuff were done on.
Didn't they have, like, a Nintendo or Super Nintendo version? I think that's
they
what
did.
I remember.
They did. There was a Super Nintendo version that used Mode 7, if I'm not mistaken. And there were two Nintendo versions. A lot of people don't know this. There was the U.S. version, which was by, I think, Jellico did it in the U.S., and then Konami actually did it in Japan, and Konami kind of changed the game a little bit because the game is kind of like castles and pirate ships sort of theming, and in the Konami NES version, they changed it to, like, samurai and things like that. So, and I think maybe that's because they maybe were a little more limited in the graphics. They didn't really do the ocean as a thing. I don't know. It's very interesting how they were different. But part of what makes Rampart kind of unique is Rampart, they say, or they credit it anyway, with being kind of a precursor to tower defense games. Because essentially that's what it was.
Yeah, I can see that.
You were protecting towers as they were being attacked by little peons that would come try to attack them. The peons were coming from these ships that were also attacking your towers with cannonballs. And so the game was split up into different phases. And for those of you that are watching along on Twitch, you can kind of see these different phases play out. One is you place the cannons within your forts. Then the second is it's a free-for-all battle between cannonballs. So you're firing on the pirate ships, they're firing on your castles. The next phase after that is put back together your castles. And so it's like a Tetris kind of style. You have Tetris-like pieces, and you have to be able to surround at least one of your castle buildings with a bunch of Tetris pieces. If you can't do that, it's game over. So you'll notice on the Twitch stream, for those of you watching, this guy right now is trying to surround. He's actually got two of them in one, and he did it there. So, and he's got another one that's a little smaller. So you can see he's kind of trying to build that together. For those listening on the podcast, you'll just have to imagine it. But it's very easy to find gameplay of this game if you're interested. And yes, it's playable in MAME, which I know a lot of people, you know, check their arcade games out that way. But it is a neat little game. In the original game, there are six different levels where you're attacking different ships and then trying to repair the damage, and it's built into those different phases. There is a multiplayer version of the game, at least the arcade version has it. Not all of the home ports have it, but some of them do. Interestingly enough, I believe Konami's NES version is one of the ones that has it. Sounds like it's one of those cases where the Japanese port of the game was a little bit stronger. If you are playing with two or three people, the arcade version had blue, red, and yellow teams. It was a rare three-player arcade game. Except instead of fighting against ships, you're fighting against each other. Your land is separated by a river, and you're trying to blow each other's stuff up. So that's kind of fun. Some of the strategy for this game, it's easier to capture an unowned castle than try to repair the wall around a starting castle. But if you kind of build close to the water, you can have better aim. So there's lots of little tricks and techniques that go into this. I was never very good at it. I just thought it was kind of fun to try to build like the biggest surrounding piece of land I could as fast as I could. Where has this game been ported? Everywhere in the 90s. It was on the Super Nintendo, the Master System, the Mega Drive Genesis, Atari Lynx, PC, Macintosh, Commodore 64, Amiga, Atari ST, Game Boy, Game Boy Color. There's a lot of different ports. And if that's not enough for you, it was also included in the Midway Arcade Treasures compilation. So if you have a Midway compilation that was either on the GameCube, the PlayStation 2, the Xbox, or the PlayStation Portable, this game is on it. And if you have the later Arcade Origins series that was on PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360, this game is on there as well. And, I mean, they've done this game a lot, haven't they? If you bought Gauntlet on the Game Boy Advance, this game was there as well. It was kind of like the B-side. Like when they did Final Fight and Magic Sword together. And I was more about Magic Sword, but it was kind of the B-side. So Rampart was available in Gauntlet on the Game Boy Advance as well. There's also some open source games that are basically clones of Rampart. Kajani Combat and Castle Combat are two of the names of those. So kind of neat. And yeah, really, and they say this is kind of an influencer of the tower defense genre. So yeah, one of my very favorite kind of like puzzle games. I don't know, like it does get a little bit old after a while, but it is kind of like it's so unique that I can't help but if I actually find one of these machines, which I don't think they made a ton of these in the arcade, so I don't see them very often, but if I do see one, I really have to play around for it. So there you go. Dark Tetsuya says, I think there's a Japanese Famicom version of this too. Yeah, I was mentioning that a little earlier, is that Konami made the Japanese version, whereas Jellico made the US version. It's kind of like Tetris, where there was two different versions of it on the NES. Questbuster says, my castles are fugly because I had no idea what I was doing. Same though. And Questbuster says, I loved watching someone else play it so I could see the cannons in action, especially if the arcade cab had its volume up. Oh, and something that really should – one thing I need to mention about this game before we close up, it ran on a trackball. So you're placing all these pieces. You're firing all the cannons. It's a trackball game. So when they sold conversion kits for this, I think it would run on like an old 720 machine or I'm trying to think of the other trackball Atari games from around this era. But yeah, it was actually a trackball game, and I think that's important to say, because if you do end up playing a clone or whatever, it really helps to have a mouse. So when you are playing it on Super Nintendo or even regular Nintendo, you're not really able to play it with a mouse. Or did this game support the mouse peripheral?
I don't think so.
I think it
was an NES game.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
It was on both. It was definitely on both, because the Super Nintendo one had Mode 7. Where you could actually see your land in Mode 7, and it was kind of cool. Because it was like, ooh, I built that, and I'm seeing it in Mode 7. So that's kind of neat. Anyway, there it is, your classic game of the week. One of my old school faves from the arcades in the 1990s, Rampart. There you go. My pick. Since Star Sakura wasn't here to pick tonight, but hopefully she'll be back next week, and we'll get a pick from her. Although next week will be April, so she might do a pinball game. Stay tuned. We'll see. For now, let's move on and travel around the world quickly with some rapid-fire news of what's going on in the industry. Loki.
So, since we're getting a lot of people watching Netflix, it's, I guess, appropriate that we have some Netflix news. So there's, I guess, information going on saying that Netflix is looking to develop a live-action Dragon's Lair series, and they're looking to have Ryan Reynolds set to produce and star in the, I don't know if it's going to be a series or a film, but at the very least, something. So, interesting to see. I'd like to see that, but I don't know. Live action, it's going to lose some of its charm, I think. But whatever. I guess we'll have to see what happens.
I thought I had heard that it might be a half and half thing, that Don Bluth's company might still be involved with this. Kind of like Xanadu was half and half.
Maybe.
I don't, there, so even though cool. Even the Dark Sakura's not here, I had to throw out a Xanadu reference in for her. So,
there all is right, that. As long as we get a Netflix adaptation of Brain Dead 13, then that'd be good too. I guess Space Ace will have to do that as well. Yeah. And then, of course, speaking of Netflix, you know, Castlevania the animated series is getting a fourth season, so that's pretty awesome. Apparently, I guess the third season just came out at the beginning of this month. So no date yet when the fourth one's going to be coming, but I'm glad to see that it's doing well. I have not really watched that series. I think I may have watched an episode of it, but I mean, it sounds like it's been doing pretty well.
Yeah, most people that have been watching it have said good things about it. So it's one of those things. I'll watch it when I have time. But speaking of time sinks, you know what else got renewed on Netflix, which is really exciting? It has nothing to do with video gaming, but it's a game of sorts. The Circle got renewed for seasons 2 and 3. So that is really exciting news. As did Love is Blind got renewed for seasons 2 and 3, because, you know, both those shows are crazy and everywhere. Tiger King, I don't know. Isn't Tiger King like a documentary? Maybe they can't do a season 2, but I'm sure they'll try to figure out a way to do it.
They're not going to do season 2. That's a documentary.
Yeah, well, I don't know. You never know. They found a way to do more seasons of Making a Murder or whatever. So we'll see. But, yeah, so there's those. And then The Circle also has, if you're really into that show on Netflix, the Brazil one just came out. And because Netflix is, like, international, you can watch The Circle Brazil with English subtitles. So it's kind of like having another season of The Circle. And apparently there is a French one coming, too. The Circle France is coming as well. So if you're a fan of that crap, like me. All right. Anyway. Bobby Blackwell says they're doing a season 2 of Tiger King. It's going to be scripted. Kate McKinnon is in it. She's playing the woman. No way. Isn't that just something they're talking about on Twitter? Because, like, Dax Shepard is saying, like, he has to be the main guy in the movie version or the inevitable version of this. And then Edward Norton wanted to fight him for the part or something like that. It's like crazy.
That sounds ridiculous.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't. Wow. He's linking me. He's bringing the receipts. He's linking me to a Deadline article. Apparently there is a Joe Exotic limited series starring Kate McKinnon. You got to be shitting me. Oh, because this all got rolling back in November. And now interest in the project is picked up again because of what's going on with the Netflix series. Interesting. So it may not necessarily be tied to Netflix, though. But it probably will end up there. We'll see. Interesting. All right. Well, anyway, on to other rapid fire news. Let's talk about Streets of Rage 4, because I know some people only care about Streets of Rage 4 because they want to hear new Yuzo Koshiro music on the soundtrack. I don't say I can blame you. I'm in a very similar position. And the good news is you will be able to get the soundtrack digitally the same day as the game, or if you're a vinyl hipster, which is completely understandable, you can get the vinyl in summer of 2020, and that'll be a lot of fun as well. So yes, it has been confirmed the Streets of Rage 4 OST will get a digital release on the same day as the game launches. What day is that? We still don't know. They're just saying it will be the same day. Soon. That's right. Last week we talked about the Humble Brag, which was the Humble Bundle's version of Nintendo Direct. Yeah, so
I checked that out.
It happened. What did you think? Well, let me quickly mention some of the things they talked about. Their publishing arm is going to be getting One Step from Eden on PC and Switch, Fae Tactics as well. And then they talked about some partnerships, including Wildfire, which is a stealth game, Ambition, a Minuet of Power, which is a roguelike, Proteus, not to be confused with Parodius, which is a sci-fi first-person shooter, Ring of Pain, a roguelike with card game pacing. That sounds interesting. And The Iron Oath, a turn-based RPG in a dark fantasy world. You actually watched it, Loki. What did you think?
It was okay. I've been interested in Proteus a bit. I was kind of disappointed that not everything that they were showing was like stuff that's right around the corner. But, I mean, it looked okay.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to have some like really amazing announcements, but it was all right. Proteus is good.
I think we're definitely going to see more and more companies that are kind of doing this as time goes on. That's for sure. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, let us move on and talk about world release dates and what is coming out in a country near you very soon. So starting with the U.S.
Not a whole lot, but we've got Bubble Bobble 4 Friends on Nintendo Switch, Persona 5 Royale on PlayStation 4, My Friend Pedro on PlayStation 4, and then last but not least, Resident Evil 3 on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One.
All right, traveling to Japan and checking out the releases there. On the PlayStation 4, Biohazard 3, which of course is Resident Evil 3, that remake, is getting its release on PlayStation 4 on April the 3rd. That is a regular version, and a Z version is coming out there. Shovel Knight also getting its Japanese release this week, so that's kind of fun. I'm guessing that's a localized version. Maybe it may have already come out like digitally, but this is a like physical version that's coming out as well. And then over on the Nintendo Switch, also seeing Shovel Knight as well. And then Kotoba no Puzzle is a game as well. And then I don't know what the hell this is, but Pika Pika Nurse Monogatari. Now, I know you might think that that is some type of like Pikachu thing, but it's not. It's like a nursing simulator type of game. So, and that is, it's like Nursing Mama, basically. So, yeah, because you get to like actually examine patients, but it's all cute and chibi. So, interesting. So that's out this week. And then there's a brand new Nintendo Switch Lite color coming out in Japan. A Nintendo Switch Lite Coral version is out. So, fun. What about the UK, Loki?
UK, we've got, Onanaki that's coming out on PlayStation 4 and Switch. Zombie Army Trilogy on Nintendo Switch. Persona 5 Royale on PlayStation 4. Super Epic on PlayStation 4 and Switch. Resident Evil 3 out on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. And that's it.
All righty. Let's move on to our mailbag. Every week you guys send us emails, participate at orangeloungeradio.com, and we read some of our favorites here on the show. Although I'm sad to say yet again, it looked like our mailbag was kind of empty. So we don't have any emails to read. But I will go to our Twitter account, because we do field your tweets as well, at OLR over on Twitter. And we do have a tweet coming in this week from Flacco Jones, who tweeted us saying, we haven't heard from Flacco in a while. Hello, Flacco. I hope you're well. Flacco says, hey, OLR, my wife has been spending the bulk of her gaming time during the pandemic lockdown playing Wind Waker HD. And she just talked to a certain someone very special to your show. And attached is a GIF image of Tingle. And that's, you can't even see that, whatever. So Tingle, sorry, I was holding it up to the camera. Tingle has made an appearance in Wind Waker HD. good choice to catch up on the gaming backlog. You know, speaking of Zelda, I know several people that have kind of restarted or picked up again their Breath of the Wild games. Because, you know, talk about a game that you sink a lot of hours into. That's another big one as well. Loki, any thoughts on Wind Waker HD and Tingle appearance?
I already made my comment on that.
Oh, what did you say? I missed it.
I replied dislike.
Dislike, whatever. Don't be a hater. All right. So anyhow, there you go. So in lack of emails this week, at least we got a tweet. And I will be encouraging more folks to send us tweets for future weeks, because if we're going to continue to have an empty mailbag, then we're going to change this segment a little bit. I'm not sure I'm going to delete the mailbag, but we're going to kind of open it up to other feedback mechanisms as well. So mails and tweets, I suppose.
Don't make us go late 90s, early 2000s, participate or die.
No. I mean, you know, the reality is less and less people use email because more and more people use social media. And I think this is just one of those maybe we have to evolve type of things, because people just aren't really using their email accounts like they used to. But it's very easy to send a tweet. And, you know, I probably should dust off the Facebook and try to get some more posts on there. It's just, it's hard for me to put together this show and be the social media guy. So, you know, we'll see. We'll do what I can. So, all right. Dark Tetsuya says, just do what you did with FUs. Make it as needed if we do get any. The difference between this and FUs, though, is that, you know, this is the show where every gamer has a voice. And especially right now where we're having to use Discord to do the show. So we're not really doing calls on Discord. And we weren't really getting a lot of those either. I think we just need to rethink some of the ways that we're letting people participate. And so, you know what I need to do? I just need to open an Animal Crossing town during the show, and you can participate by coming to visit and saying your messages there. That's staying on top of trends, right? So anyway.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, I'm open to ideas. If you think there's a way we should be getting more folks to interact with our show that we're not doing, tweet me, email me, anything. Text me if you know my number. I'll take anything. So, all right. Ooh. So you want to talk about participation. Bobby just got some late breaking news for himself. Bobby said in chat, breaking news, he has Tommy Tallarico coming on his show next week.
Oh,
from
my God.
Television. Yeah. Well,
when are we going to be starting our show? Like 8 o'clock at night?
Do we get a show next week, Bobby? Have we been bumped? I don't know. No, I'm kind of serious. What happens now to OLR? Because he's not going to hold himself to an hour. We're going to have to figure that out.
I did see the new video that he posted about the Intellivision with the new like game Sarah showing off and stuff like that in the controller, showing off Missile Command, I believe.
Yeah, I saw the Missile Command video as well. Like I think they're very committed to that idea, which is, you know, in some may say is the wrong idea right now in the time of coronavirus. But hopefully by the time this thing is out, coronavirus is a memory. God, let's hope so. And I think maybe more than ever, people will want to hang out in person again because they're going to realize how much they missed it. Because I will say, you know, even though the games are not packing the oomph in processing power of something like Nintendo Switch or PlayStation 4 or what have you, it seems like the ideas that they've committed to, they're executing fairly well. Like the fact that the controller works on your phone as well as the, you know, regular Bluetooth controller, like that looks like it's, you know, that Missile Command game they were playing, the four player looked very fast paced and it looked like it was doing very well. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it looked pretty cool.
Yeah. So I'm looking at some folks in chat. OLR starting late. OLR canceled next week. Bobby says, I'll try to wrap it at an hour. We won't do the OLR throw. We'll figure it out.
We're just joking.
Yeah, we're kind of – well, here's the thing, too, is that honestly, if there's any time to screw with our times, what else do we have going on? We're all doing this from our – it's – the nice thing is Loki and Dark Sakura aren't driving to get here at a certain time. So if we do end up with a 6:30 start time or something, it's not the end of the world. So we'll talk about it offline, Bobby. But I'm excited for you. That'll be a fun interview. So, all right. Let's move on. Loki, you have another piece of news for us.
Yes. So as we were kind of alluding to earlier with all the sports being kind of postponed right now, so NASCAR is another thing that's now going to be kind of like an esports coverage. So they're going to do their first NASCAR. They had their first NASCAR virtual race over the weekend. And now I guess they've Fox and NASCAR have decided that they're going to broadcast a whole season of it on TV. And this is kind of similar to, I guess, the what Formula One's been doing. We talked about that last week. So it's going to be the eNASCAR iRacing Pro Invitation Series event. Interesting. I mean, like I said, this is kind of neat that esports is kind of going to be a thing that's becoming more mainstream with all of these different sporting events going to their kind of electronic equivalents.
It's also fascinating to me that you have the professional sports players for being able to do the physical sports that are kind of transitioning to the esports side of things when it comes to these, you know, very intense simulators like iRacing, you know, because that's supposed to really simulate the kind of NASCAR experience versus the other kind of traditional esport athlete that learned to play said game because maybe it's not based on some, well, even I would say even something like Madden falls into this category. Madden is based off a sport in the real world, and some might even call it a simulation, but it doesn't really play like it, if that makes sense. Yeah. You know, like they're very, very different. Whereas I think when we talk about something like the iRacer, there's probably a lot that goes into that. It's probably, you know, I'm not familiar with it myself, but I imagine it's like the Microsoft Flight Simulator of car racing where every, you know, nut and bolt is kind of represented there. You know what I mean? Whereas in Madden, it's kind of has to be dumbed down, and I'm using my quotey fingers. I'm not saying that in a negative way, for a controller, you know? And the fact that you're not exerting physically in the same way, if that makes sense. So, but yeah, Bobby Blackwell says iRacing is what the drivers use to train when they can't get on a track. SG100 Matt in chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork says, the NHL is simming the rest of their season. I almost said slimming, but it's simming the rest of their season in NHL 20, complete with players of the day and stat updates. The team Twitter accounts are getting into it as well. What else can you do? Because, you know, when you don't have games, you don't have the visibility. You don't have the shirts and the merchandising and that stuff's necessarily selling at the same pace. I'm sure there's always going to be diehard fans that are looking for that stuff, but it's not going to be selling at the same pace. So it's like anything that you can do to get people to be like, hey, remember hockey? Like, it's going to be something they're going to try. So, be interesting. It's just, it is going to be so fascinating, the economic ripple that this is all going to have. And I'm not trying to say it in like a doom and gloom type of way, but I mean, look at like Disney parks being shut down for 6 weeks. That's, which is what we're looking at this point. I know they haven't officially said the reopening date, but that's like crazy and unheard of, right? So like Disney's going to lose like 6 weeks of park income. Do you know how much money that is?
It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of fucking money. So now a company like Disney has multiple TV networks, movie studios, and other things to kind of like keep them afloat. So I'm not worried like, oh my God, Disney's going to go under, but it's going to be like a rough transition, I think, for a lot of companies. Anyway, I don't want to burden us too much with real world stuff, but I would just say when we get back to the real world, when it's safe to do so, it's going to be like driving on a road that hasn't been paved in a little while. You'll get to the destination. It's going to be a little bumpy. There's going to be some potholes. It'll be interesting. So, yeah, Act Deft in chat says, we're not talking millions, we're talking billions. Yeah, that's true. That is very true. SG100 Matt points out, it's 6 weeks for domestic parks. Some of the international parks have been closed for months now. Yeah, so we shall see. All right. Anyhow, well, one interesting case of gaming worlds hopefully reflecting what might happen in the real world is that right now, house evictions are being halted in Final Fantasy XIV. And I play a lot of Final Fantasy XIV, so let me kind of tell you what this really means. Because player housing is very highly contested in Final Fantasy XIV because there's only so much of it. It's kind of a problem that's been facing the game for a long time is that there's only, and you know, there's a lot. There's the different areas, and then there's so many housing wards and plots in every area. But it can be hard to get a house. Sometimes you have to just kind of camp out and hope that a plot becomes available and try to snatch that up as soon as you can. Because what happens in the way that plots become available is that if somebody doesn't log into their account or doesn't visit their house, I believe it's in 45 days. I think there's a timer that starts after 30 days. And if you go like another 15, your house is basically demolished and your plot goes up for sale because you basically abandon it. You get some of your investment back, and any furniture you put in there, you can go talk to an NPC and get it back. But you've essentially lost your claim to the land. So you get bounced for not having visited it. And so the housing is – and somebody will be there trying to buy it when that happens. So that's how I got my house, because I went to a new server and I finally bought my house because somebody abandoned the land. And I just happened to be the right place, right time, and I got the house. Well, because not everybody is able to conduct their lives with the same pattern that maybe they were before, not everybody is necessarily logging into Final Fantasy XIV with the same – you know. And especially probably people that are working on the front lines in places like healthcare and so forth probably aren't thinking about things like Final Fantasy XIV maybe in the way that they used to. So the automatic demolishing system has been suspended. So and they've said in a statement from Square Enix, quote, taking into account the worldwide spread of COVID-19 and the economical effects of various cities going into lockdown, we've decided to temporarily suspend automatic housing demolition. Now that I'm saying this out loud, this could also very much be for the sake of other countries, maybe not so much the U.S., but other places where cafes and that kind of pay-in-advance game time is like how you play it. We have to remember in the U.S. culture, playing at home and that stuff is very much how you do it, but there's other cultures where Final Fantasy XIV exists where you go to an internet cafe to play and log into your character and all that stuff. So I would bet for the sake of those places – that's why this is being, you know, and it's kind of one of those, it's easier to push the button for everybody than it is for just some places. So there you go. No more evictions in Final Fantasy XIV until this is figured out. So hopefully something that reflects the real world, because I know there's a lot of people, and I'm thinking of a lot of friends of mine who have been displaced from work. I'm sure there's many of you out there listening because of what's going on in the real world. And I'm glad to hear they're doing things like unemployment benefits, like the stimulus package and so forth. I think we know it's just the first of many things that need to be done so that we don't have just this complete catastrophe of people not being able – because where are all these people going to go? So hopefully the government is able to put a stop to people unnecessarily getting kicked out of their places. So – we'll see what develops over the next few weeks and months. So, all right. Well, Loki, we have a few more stories before we wrap up the show. Loki, you first.
So Capcom has decided to cancel their Capcom Pro Tour, at least the first half of it, due to the COVID-19 pandemic. And they made their announcement via the Capcom Fighters Twitter page, basically saying that currently the novel coronavirus COVID-19 is projected to continue for several more months or longer across the world in light of this situation, and considering the health and well-being of our players, staff, and visitors, all tournaments scheduled to be held in the first half of 2020. Capcom Pro Tour season have been removed from the schedule. We apologize for any inconveniences may have caused players, fans, and tournament operators and production teams. The second half of the Capcom Pro Tournament is scheduled to resume in July, but we will continue to monitor the novel coronavirus situation and we'll adjust the schedule and rules accordingly. I mean, it makes sense that it was going to happen.
Yeah, it's just kind of another one of those up. Just add that to the list of things that are put on hold for a little bit, but it is the right thing to do. So we just, you know, I think now we're just all kind of wondering, like, where's that line going to be of things that get canceled and things that don't get canceled? Like when, you know, the government is talking about April 30th, maybe we can start to relax some social distancing. Maybe. Does that mean we're going to be able to have conventions again? I don't know if it necessarily means that. We might start to see what probably will happen is that maybe they'll still like allow you to go to restaurants and things, but they're still going to say to limit gatherings to a certain amount of people. Like, you know what I mean? And then maybe in like May or June, we start to see some of that come back as the line gets flattened even more, hopefully. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's going to happen is they're going to basically kind of scale it back, kind of like how we saw it progressively get more restricted. It's going to kind of go the opposite direction.
SSU 100 Matt points out the Olympics was the big one, that being shut down since a huge precedence. Yeah, and that is not an easy thing to move. And you know, and I think I mentioned this last week when we heard about this Olympics getting pushback thing was kind of starting. This puts that Mario and Sonic at the 2020 Tokyo Games, that game, that puts it in a very interesting predicament of being a licensed property for something that didn't happen.
That's not necessarily true, because it will happen.
It will, but it's specifically it's not called the Tokyo Games. It's called the 2020 Olympic Games. So yes, you. Yes, and I'm fine. You all want to get me on a technicality. Well, it will happen in 2021. Yes, I understand that. But the game is still the 2020 Olympics.
Another game.
Yeah.
They can make a second game. So what I was going to say is, I mean, it's not the most ridiculous property that's been created tie-in. You may remember there was a Spy Hunter game that starring Vin Diesel that came out, or I think it was Vin Diesel, somebody, some action star that came out, and then the Spy Hunter movie never came out.
Oh, right. Yeah. I remember they were working on a Spy Hunter movie, and then they just kind of stopped doing that. Now, Bobby is saying that the branding is still all going to be Tokyo 2020. Well, that is going to be interesting. All right, then I guess maybe it doesn't make that game as special as I thought. But if all the branding...
Yes, thank you. It's The Rock. I knew it was one of them, but The Rock was the Spy Hunter.
One of those Fast and Furious guys. One of them was in it. So
Vin Diesel had the other one too. There was another one though, was with Vin Diesel. It was I don't remember what it was about, but it was another car driving type game, not like a Fast and the Furious or something, but there was another like spy thing with cars that he was in as well.
Tiger Claw says the Wheelman.
Yes, that is. Thank you. Tiger Claw on the money there. Yeah, the Wheelman. That was also supposed to be a movie, I believe.
All right. Well, moving on. And after this story, we're going to take your questions and comments from our chat room as we move into the listener roundtable. So if you have any questions or things you want us to bring up that we haven't gotten to yet, maybe we'll hit on it in a last minute story. But twitch.tv/VOG Network or VOG Network is the place to leave some comments. Meanwhile, we have news of a Nier remaster coming out. So Nier is hitting its 10-year anniversary, and there's going to be a remaster, Nier Replicant, that's coming out for the PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Now, originally, Nier Replicant was on Japan on the PlayStation 3, but in the West, it was called Nier Gestalt, which then came to Japan on the Xbox 360. There were different protagonists in the games. But if you have a game, and I know I have this game on the Xbox 360 that's just called Nier, it's that, but with a different protagonist. So essentially, it's a remake of that older Nier game that was that. It's just, you know, some little changes there. But I know a lot of people are pretty excited about that. So it's coming out for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Steam in time for the 10-year anniversary. I'm a little surprised they're doing this and not an all-new Nier game. But maybe it's one of those things where a new Nier game is going to take a little time. Like, this is something, again, this is coming out on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Maybe a new Nier game is something they're plotting for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X. And so it's going to take them a little more time to cook that up. So, understandable. Fifth Dream Today says, best music. Yeah, the raid in Final Fantasy that's based off Nier has some pretty amazing music in it, I got to say. It's really cool. So, ActDeft also points out Nier Automata is coming to Xbox Game Pass on April 2nd. Yay, I'll finally get around to playing it after all this time. So, I will make it a point to check that out. I've heard nothing but great things about the Nier games, so I need to check that out for sure. So, all right. Well, we're going to open up the listener roundtable if you guys have any comments or questions or so forth. ActDeft in our chat says, Rob, the Mario and Sonic game is still special because it has Waluigi doing gymnastics. That is true. Waluigi participating in those events is always going to be a special thing. She-Hulk 10 with a question for us. Do you guys have any old games that you liked but not really that popular that you would like to be given a current-gen remake or makeover? Mine is Jaws the Revenge from 2006, where you play as the shark. Oh my god, I forgot about that one. Do you remember that game? The Jaws, but you're the shark? That was actually kind of awesome.
I thought they had one that was just like that not too long ago. It's another Jaws game where I think it's Jaws.
Maneater.
There's another. Yes. Maneater. Yes, it is.
Yes, it looks, there's a lot similar there. It's not out yet, But that is something that's coming. So that's a good one. You know, one that we bring up a lot on this program is the Guardian Legend, which is honestly one of the greatest 8-bit games on the Nintendo I think they ever did make. It was kind of a hybrid of a shooter and Legend of Zelda. And if you've never played the game, I really urge you to go check out some YouTubes. Unfortunately, I think it's one of those, like, who owns the rights now, that we probably are not going to see this game on Virtual Console or anything like that anytime soon, although I would be so giddy if we ever did. But I would love to see that come back. But it has to be the right studio that does it, and I would really want to see a company like Way Forward, because I believe – weren't they the ones behind the Blaster Master Zero?
Yes.
Yeah, because that was done right. That Blaster Master relaunched it, and they even had the sequel as well, which was kind of like a sequel for that didn't really exist, which is kind of awesome. That I would want to see come back, but it needs to be like as good as Blaster Master Zero was. Like, I would be very sad if it was kind of crap. Like that other Blaster Master game that was on the Wii was not that great because they tried to like redo too much, and then the physics felt off, and it kind of ruined the game. Bobby Blackwolf points out Way Forward also did DuckTales Remastered, which was also very well done. Very good point. Some other folks in chat are answering these questions. Bobby Blackwolf says Guitaru Man. Very good answer. Act Deft, an old game I would love to see get a remake or makeover. Uniracers. Repcycled in chat says Stunt Race FX, which I'm sure is going to lead to the inevitable Loki answer of
Excite Truck, get it right.
Sorry, my bad. We've seen Excite Bike get remastered a few times, but not Excite Truck yet. That, yes, I'm all for that. I'm all for an Excite Truck.
We're not counting Excite Bots. It didn't happen.
Yeah. Recycled saying Stunt Race FX. You know, in a way, I feel like Excite Truck was a Stunt Race FX.
No, a little
bit. A little bit. I don't know. Maybe a little. So those are some answers there. Loki, any last minute stories while we wait and see if chat has any other questions or comments for us?
Yes, I do have one. So apparently there was a push notification that went out just tonight saying that HQ Trivia is back. Apparently, I think that was the trivia game that you can actually win real money.
Yeah, it was that thing was like all the rage for like a month, and then everybody quit. Yeah, and if you saw their last episode, it was great. Go look it up on YouTube because they were drunk and they didn't give a fuck. They were swearing and doing all this stuff. They were like, they were probably high to, like, they were just like, we're closing tonight, whatever, it's the last one. And the guy put up a prize of $5 of his own money. It was great. It was like total. Yes, yeah,
they're coming back tonight. So,
all right, cool. I guess, you know, maybe it's one of those things where it's like, now is the time for that. Maybe they see an opportunity where it's like, everybody's stuck at home, let's try this again. They must have had a financer step in and be like, now's the time.
An anonymous investor.
Uh-huh. That's what it is. Yep. Act Deft in chat says, question for Robin Loki. Have you seen that Twitter tag meme to post 4 games that defined you? Well, what are yours? I have seen that meme. I just held off on doing it because I don't like tag memes, because then it's like I have to tag people that probably won't do it. And then it's like, why don't you tag me?
That's basically an email forward. No, thanks.
There's a lot about those memes I don't really like. But let's take the – because the question is still good. So let's take the question out of that. What are 4 games that define you? This is tricky. In the moment – I'd have to really think on this. But in the moment, I'm going to say – one of the obvious answers is Dance Dance Revolution. Without that game, I wouldn't know Loki. I wouldn't know any of you because I wouldn't have had this show. So that's at the top of the list. Other games. So I'm going to try to let that be the music game representation. I would say the original Legend of Zelda on the NES, just because that was the game that really turned me into a video game nerd, because that was the one where other kids who used to bully me would then secretly want to ask me questions about, so how do I get to the 4th dungeon in the 2nd quest? Yeah, right. Stuff like that. So I would say that game was very definitive. Two more. Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo. Because of the fucking crazy amount of that I played in college. I think that's really all I need to say about that one. And that was kind of like the PlayStation. I almost said Final Fantasy VII, but then I was like, no, you know what PlayStation game got even more time? Was Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo. And then a fourth game. Probably some sort of MMO. Maybe I will say Final Fantasy XI. Again, I'm not really giving this a lot of thought. I'm kind of answering this spontaneously, but those are the four that come up spontaneously. But I feel like an MMO needs representation in there. I had an MMO-based podcast for many years, and that way the Final Fantasy franchise gets represented as well, which I've always been a big fan of. All right, Loki, what about you? Four games that define you.
So I have to say Dance Dance Revolution. I mean, probably the whole series, because they can't really... I guess fourth mix if we had to pick a game.
Third mix plus Korean is mine.
Okay. And then I would say Grand Theft Auto 4. Because I played a ton of that. Let's see. I would probably have to say... Yeah, Final Fantasy XI and... yeah, probably The Legend of Zelda, because that was one of the first Nintendo games I got.
Driver 3.
I didn't play enough Driver 3.
Oh, Saints Row.
I did play a ton of Saints Row.
She-Hulk 10, I like this answer. Pac-Man, Asteroids, Halo, Mass Effect. I'm really surprised I didn't put Mass Effect, the trilogy, on my list. See, that's a my bad for not thinking that through further, but... You know, I don't know if I would say Mass Effect defined me as much as I really fucking liked Mass Effect. Because I kind of feel like there's a difference. You know what I mean? Like when we say like these games define you, I'm not critical of how anybody else wants to answer this question. I'm just saying when I answered it, things that I'm thinking of are like this podcast and the many, many, many hours would not exist if not for DDR and so on. Kind of the different reasons I gave. But like as far as like... things I really enjoyed, I would really have to probably put Mass Effect on that list as well. So really good question. I like that. I guess that's a good one to end on. So any other last minute stories, Loki, before we wrap up?
Yeah, so a couple more. I talked about GameStop closing 300 stores. So it's actually about 320 stores in 2020. This was due to their 2019 investors call. Apparently, they're saying we're continuing to focus optimizing our global store fleet in fiscal 2019 and close a net total of 321 stores, inclusive of 333 closings and 12 openings. And in fiscal 2020, we will continue our efforts to de-densify the store base and focus on maximizing product productivity of the entire fleet. So, I mean, this was as of a call... last week.
So who knows the toll that other real world stuff might take on this, but they were already planning to close 300.
They were already doing that. The local store is closing. I know that the guys there were promising me some stuff, but I know that they haven't been in the store for, you know, a week or so. So I don't even know what that's doing to their closing, because they were doing like closeout stuff, but they still have a ton of product in the store. And I mean, if they're not open, I don't know what that does for them. If they're just going to postpone the closure of that until they can open again, or what the case may be.
I was thinking back on that four games question, and I can't believe I didn't fucking say Ingress, just because of, like, I've traveled to cities I wouldn't have gone to otherwise if it wasn't for that game. And yeah, so I have to really sit down and think about that one long and hard. There's a lot of good answers for that, I think. So anyway. Because somebody else said Pokemon, it made me think Pokemon Go, and then I was like, oh yeah, Ingress. I should have said Ingress, because I've been playing that way too long. Maybe Ingress slipped my mind, because I haven't been playing it the past couple weeks. I wonder why. I mean, a little bit. Like, when I walked 30 minutes to another park, I played it at the park and then walked back, but that's like it. Like, I'm not playing it nearly at the level I was playing it before. So, interesting. Yeah, SJ100 Matt says Rob didn't say Super Metroid either. No, I didn't. Because, again, the question was the games that defined you, not which games do you really, 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 really like. I think there's a difference, you know? It really is. So, anyway. So that's it for last minute stories, Logie.
I was going to say there was one more.
That's right.
It's kind of silly.
That's
okay.
So I like silly.
Crash Nitro Fueled Racing, or Crash Team Racing Nitro Fueled. They had a funny April Fool's Day DLC that they're putting out. So apparently it's free, which is good. And so what happens is if you smash some of these Beanox crates scattered throughout the tracks, you can actually unlock a hidden crate cart as the it's like a Beanox crate is the driver of the cart, one of the smashing crates from Crash Team.
Huh, interesting. That's a little silly.
Yeah, so it's kind of silly.
I kind of like, though, that they are doing like an April Fool's something along those, because like, I think a lot of us are going to be really tired of April Fool's Day this year. Like, for all intents and purposes, April Fool's Day is canceled. Like, just don't. April Fool's Day, don't. not this year. Not today, Satan. Like, just, there's too much other stuff going on in the room. But I think cute things like this, like DLC for it, extra things, sideshow, okay. Okay, we can do that. But that's about all we can tolerate right now. No jokes. All right. Anyhow, all right. I think with that, we will go ahead and wrap things up. I know it's a little bit shorter of a show, but we didn't have Jamie tonight, and we're on Discord, so I think things will be a little bit shorter just in the interim. But we still filled a good about 2 hours or so nonetheless, almost 2 hours. I do want to thank you guys for being here and tuning in this week, whether it was live on Sunday night over the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, or if it was on the podcast feed. Really appreciate that. If you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But the more voices we get here on Sunday nights and on our podcast feed throughout the week, sending us tweets and things like that, the more we can get your voices out there. So tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word. Auto hosts on your Twitch channel go a long way. Please consider adding VOG Network to your host list. That would be super awesome. And then just, you know, sharing on social media, the Spotify link or things like that, whatever. Those things come in very, 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 very handy. Really appreciate those of you guys that do that. That's going to do it for this week. We'll be back in 7 days to talk all again. And hopefully Dark Soccer will be back with us and can talk about other stuff. We'll probably still be remote via Discord for a little while, but that's okay. We'll talk about whatever's going on in gaming. Loki, I guess we get to final thoughts. Any final thoughts from you tonight?
Yes, I've been staring at a Black Widow that's been in my my monitor arms, and it's crawled up inside there now, and now I have to somehow take this apart and go kill it.
I think you're going to be burning your house down later, honestly, and I you know, that's the reason to do it. So
yeah,
all right. And then my final thought tonight is, you know what? Just keep staying inside. If I can do it, you can do it. enjoy the games. Catch up on your backlog. You'll have some Nier on Xbox Game Pass this week. You've got plenty of other free games out there and stuff in your backlog. So check it all out this week. Have fun, and we'll see you on Twitch and on the podcast feed in 7 more days. Have a great week, everybody. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VOGNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.